Turn in our Bibles to John chapter 20. I've been preaching a series out of Psalms chapter number 23, but felt like we would take a break from that today. And heard a lot about Easter, heard a lot about Resurrection Sunday, and really every Sunday we meet together is because the reason we worship on Sunday and not Saturday. And you know, a lot of times people, they call Sunday the Sabbath day, but actually Sunday is not a Sabbath day. Sunday, or Saturday is a Sabbath day, and the Jews worshiped on Saturday. Christians worship on Sunday. Sunday's the first day of the week. If you look at John chapter 20 and verse number 1, it says the first day of the week. You just look at a calendar, you can figure out when that is. That's Sunday. Not Monday, praise the Lord. Everybody throws off on Monday. But really, Sunday is the first day of the week. And so every time we meet together, it's in remembrance or because the Lord rose from the dead on first day of the week. All right, we're not going to start reading there. That was the message before the message. But we're going to start reading in verse number 24 down through verse number 31. And I hope it'll be a blessing and a help to us today. John chapter 20 and verse number 24 down through verse number 31. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says there, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful to be here this morning and for all the blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for every day. We thank you for life. Lord, we thank you that in Christ we can have a new life. And Lord, I pray and I ask that you would take the message. Lord, I pray you take the Word of God and apply it to our hearts. Lord, we're not like Thomas today, not seeing and touching, but Lord, we can still believe just like he did. And so I pray, Lord, if there be one here that's lost, Lord, that has never believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, God, that you'd reveal yourself to them as only you can and make yourself a reality in their lives, that they would have to do something with the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, help us, give liberty, give freedom of thought. Lord, I pray that you'd get glory and honor out of everything that's said and done today. We'll thank you for all that you do. We come and ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, I desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would help me as well. Many times we feel weak in the flesh, but the Lord, he's able to help us. And we're trusting in him. First thing I want to draw your attention to this morning is the purpose of John's gospel. If you look over there in verse number 31, the Bible says, "But these are written," talking about the whole book of John, "these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." The reason or the purpose of the whole book of John is, as it says there, "These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That is the whole purpose of the book of John. I've never noticed this before. I've never read about it before, but I just got to studying about that word believe. And the word believe in all of its variations, believe, believed, believer, believest, believeth, all of those things. If you study that out in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that the word believe and all of the variations of it is only found 10 times in the book of Matthew. It is only found 17 times in the book of Mark, 11 times in the book of Luke. But when you come to the book of John, you find the word believe 99 times. 3 to 1, 3 times as much or more than all the other ones combined together. A lot of times I've encouraged people who were searching for the truth. Somebody that wants to know about being saved, or people that are doubting their salvation, whether or not they've ever been saved or not. I've encouraged a lot of people down through the years. If you are doubting, if you're unsure, if you're searching, read the book of John. You know, we tell people, read the Bible. Well, the Bible's a big book, and there's 66 books in the Bible. If somebody was having a question about believing, I would encourage them to read the book of John. Because the book of John was written so that we might believe, this is what the Bible says, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. So that tells us why we have the book of John. But it's interesting to me that the verses just before this deal with somebody who was unbelieving. And we've just read already this morning about Thomas. You know, sometimes Thomas, what is he called? Doubting Thomas. If somebody's doubting or unbelieving, we might even say to him, now don't be a doubting Thomas. Poor Thomas. Isn't that a blight on him? That he is known for doubting. That he is known for unbelieving. And so if you talk about doubting Thomas, you know what I'm talking about. But in all fairness, there was a point in all of the disciples' lives that they were unbelieving. Keep your place here. And we're not going to turn a whole lot of places today, but I do want to read just a few verses in Mark chapter number 16. Brother Stephen's already read over there before Sunday school, but I just want to point something out in Mark chapter number 16. It seems like if we read the Bible, that all of them went through a period of unbelief, not just Thomas, but all of the disciples. Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 9 is where I'm going to start reading, and then we'll go back to John chapter number 20. So Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 9, we're going to read a few verses down through there. The Bible said, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. Who's that talking about in verse number 10? She went to the disciples. And she told them as they mourned and wept. Verse 11, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. They didn't believe it. She had seen him alive. Look at verse 12. After that, he appeared in another form unto 2 of them. Now, that is talking about what took place in Luke chapter 24 when the Lord Jesus walked on the road to Emmaus and spoke to the 2 disciples. So that's what's happening in verse 12. As they walked and went into the country. Verse 13. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. This is 2 times they've heard that there are those that have seen the Lord Jesus Christ and He's alive. But the disciples, they don't believe. Verse 14, afterward, He appeared unto the 11. Now this happened in John chapter 20, and we're going to go back over there. Afterward, He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So the Lord Jesus came to them and upbraided them. What does that mean? He upbraided them. He got on to them. He upbraided them because of their unbelief, that they did not believe when they were plainly told by Mary and the other two disciples, "We have seen him. He is alive," and still the disciples did not believe. So we can't just talk about Thomas as being doubting Thomas. They were all doubting disciples at one point. So I'm not going to preach today on doubting Thomas, but I want to preach on believing Thomas. Because Thomas did believe, it just took him a little longer than the rest. Now, I want to point something out that's very interesting in the book of John, and I believe it's unique in the book of John. John chapter number 20, I believe we have the first disciple that believed and the last disciple that believed. Now in John chapter 20, let's go back and we'll just begin here in verse number 1 and point out some things. And again, we read in verse number 1, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark in the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved." Now that is John. That's the writer of the book of John, and he's referring to himself there, "the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. We know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple," that's John, "and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed." John was the first disciple to see and believe, and Thomas was the last disciple to see and believe, and the rest of them got in the middle there. They believed when the Lord appeared to them. And so we want to notice some things about believing Thomas, and let's notice some particulars about Thomas, and we might understand his unbelief and his belief. And so first of all today, we're going to go to John chapter 20 and verse number 24. And we're going to see first of all that he was absent. He was absent, the Bible says, John chapter 20 and verse number 24. "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Now, not only did Thomas he gets labeled as doubting Thomas, but if you study this out, something else about Thomas. The first Sunday night service in the history of the church, he's the first one to ever miss church on a Sunday night. That's what happened here. When we read in verse number 24, this is the, if you look back at verse number 19, "the same day at evening being the first day of the week." That was Resurrection Sunday. They met together, the disciples. It says in verse number 19 of the week, "when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews." That Resurrection Sunday, that night, the disciples were assembled together. That was the church at that time. And the Bible said in verse 24, "but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Who missed church first? Thomas did. He was absent. He was not there. He missed it. And let me tell you, we're not going to study all these verses in verses 19 through 23, but that was that first Sunday, that Resurrection Sunday. And the Lord came and he appeared to the disciples there. And he not only missed church on Sunday night, but he missed a lot of things. He missed the fellowship with the other disciples. Well, that was bad. But in verse number 19, you'll also find out that he missed the Lord. One of the reasons why he was unbelieving is because he wasn't there the first time. the Lord appeared to the disciples, and he missed the Lord Jesus. The Bible said in verse 19, they were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. He missed the fellowship, he missed the Lord, and he missed the message. They needed to hear, peace be unto you. It had been some terrible days in the life of the disciples. And a lot of things had gone on. The crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. His death. His burial. He missed seeing the Lord. In verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He missed the gladness. I believe that's where they believed upon the Lord. Verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. He missed the directions that the Lord Jesus gave unto him. And then in verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He missed the Holy Ghost. I mean, he missed everything on that first Sunday night. I know how people are about going to church on Sunday, Wednesday night. Well, all kinds of excuses could be heard and taken in, but I'm telling you, you better show up. You might miss something important. A lot of people are in a state of unbelief because they have gotten in the habit of being absent when the disciples are assembled together. Say, preacher, I didn't come to church to hear a message that made me feel bad. I come to hear a message that'll make me feel good. Well, Thomas felt bad a whole lot longer than he would have if he'd have been where he was supposed to be. But he was not. He was absent from the rest of the disciples. Now, church ought to be a place. Let me just say this morning. Church ought to be a good place in our lives. We ought to look forward to going to the house of the Lord. It ought to be a safe place. It ought to be an edifying place where we're built up on our most holy faith. It ought to be a loving place. It ought to be a learning place. It ought to be a healing place. But a lot of people quit because they've had a bad experience in their life. And Thomas and all the disciples, had they not had a bad experience? They'd just gone through a very traumatic experience. Now, a pastor is nowhere on the same level as the Lord Jesus Christ, but just think about it tonight, this morning. Here, I've got night on my mind. Just think about it this morning. If your pastor was arrested, put on a mock trial that happened in the darkness of night, you know, they arrested and they put the Lord Jesus on trial, and it happened through the night. Now, you know, if the courthouse is open in the middle of the night, something crooked's going on. You know, they're open during business hours and nothing else. Here they did. They held court. They tried. They condemned the Lord Jesus Christ to death. They took him out the next morning and they beat him and they stripped him naked and they humiliated him and they tortured him and then they crucified him upon the cross of Calvary, and the disciples seen all these things. You talk about a traumatic experience. It would have been a bad experience. I don't know why Thomas was not there on that night, but I do know this. They had just been through some traumatic days. Their faith had been tested in a way. Now, if they had listened, they would have been expecting this, but it just hadn't all sunk in yet. And we pointed that out several times in our studies in the book of Mark on Wednesday nights, but they'd had a traumatic few days. Mark chapter 26 and verse 56 said, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Don't just get on to Thomas. They all run. They were all scared. They were all scattered. That's what the Bible says, that they were scattered abroad. They all forsook him and fled. They had all run away. And I guess when they all run away, they had all run in different directions. Maybe that's why Thomas hadn't made it back. Maybe Thomas had said in his mind, you know, I've had enough of that. I don't want to end up being crucified. Time for me to find a new crowd to run with. I don't know why Thomas was not there. I don't know why Thomas was absent, but Thomas's absence, he missed some great things. Why is he doubting Thomas? Why didn't he believe to begin with? Well, he was absent. Number two, this morning, not only was he absent, he was adamant. Now, this gets a lot of people in trouble, just the attitude that they take about certain things. Adamant means to be like a stone. It means to be strong-willed. And that's how Thomas was. Look in verse number 25. All right, we'll just go back and read verse 24 again. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. Thomas got back together with the disciples after what happened in verses 19 through 23. And they told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. He was adamant. None of the other disciples had said anything like that. But here comes Thomas along, and I'm going to say it again, a lot of the times, the reason we get in trouble is how the attitude we take about things. And so don't you see a little bit of arrogance in Thomas there? Don't you see some brashness about him? Well, I wasn't there and I didn't see. And I'm going to tell you what, unless I see him with my own eyes and put my fingers and my hands and touch him, look what he said, I will not believe. Now that doesn't make Thomas intelligent. You know how a lot of people are out here in the world. Well, unless I see it, I'm not going to believe it. I've seen people make, you know what they are? You know what they're doing to their heart? You know what they're doing to their soul to make statements like that? They are setting themselves up not to believe. Well, if there's a God in heaven, how come he does? There's a famous atheist. I cannot recall his name right now, but he used to go out and make presentations. Maybe he's still living and still does. But the first thing he would do in his talks, he'd go out on stage and he'd say, if there's a God, I dare him to strike me down. That's how he'd start it. Well, that'd get your attention, wouldn't it? And then he'd go on in his little talk about how there was no God and believing in him was foolish and all of these things. Well, just because God doesn't strike down everybody that calls on him to do it doesn't mean there's not a God. It means there's a merciful God. It means there's a patient and loving and kind God in heaven. And I was reading yesterday over in Psalms, I believe it's Psalms 131, 32, somewhere right around in there. And I'd never really noticed this before, but it talks about the Lord. And the end of every verse it says, for his mercy endureth forever. Remember that psalm over there? See, and I'd never really caught that before, but it's a song. And the chorus to the song, no matter what it says about the Lord, it says, for his mercy endureth forever. For his mercy endureth forever. And it's probably 18, 22 verses there. Every verse ends, his mercy endureth forever. He's a merciful God. He's a good God. He's a loving God. He's a kind God. And people make these statements. Well, I had somebody tell me a while back, they said, it's all so confusing. I just don't know. If God would just send me a letter and tell me what to do. I said, he has sent you a letter. It's a long letter that tells you what to do. It's called the Bible. See what people want? They want a special letter. They want an extra letter. That's how Thomas was. The others had believed. Why wouldn't he believe his friends? Why wouldn't he believe Mary? Why couldn't he believe? Oh, no, not Thomas. Thomas had to have something special to happen in his life. If I don't see it, if I don't touch him, if I don't put my hands in his side, I will not believe. Better be careful about what you say. All people are doing is hardening their heart against believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I do notice this. A lot of people want a sign. They want a letter. They believed once upon a time, but now they don't believe. I notice this. Thomas had no problem with believing until a crisis happened in his life. They had had a crisis. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'd seen all the terribleness. They'd seen Him crucified. They'd seen all of these things. And he had a crisis in his life. And now after the crisis, he had no problem before. He was a disciple. He'd seen the Lord. He'd heard the Lord. He'd been on the boat the night the Lord Jesus had calmed the storm. He had seen blinded eyes open. He had seen the dead raised to life. He had seen the leper healed. He had seen all these things. He had no problem believing until this great crisis came into his life. And a lot of people are like that. They believe until the fire gets hot at their house. They believe until their faith is put to the test. Don't think that your faith is not going to be put to the test. It will be put to the test. You will have problems. You will have trials. You will have crisis in your life. You will have these things. And when Thomas had this crisis in his life, all of a sudden, where he believed before, now he says, unless I see, I'm not going to believe. I will not believe. He's adamant. His heart is getting harder. I don't know how it went after that. Maybe some of the disciples said, brethren, we need to pray for Thomas. I don't know. I would have. If one of our members came and once upon a time, they're good, they're in there, they're following, evidently believing, but then all of a sudden something happens and they come along and say, I'm just not going to believe unless I see it. I believe we'd say, boy, we need to pray. We need to pray. Thomas is absent. Thomas is adamant. Number three this morning, we read on down, and this all happens rather quickly. I wish problems that I encounter could be sewed up in 8 days, but God is merciful to Thomas. And I come down to verse number 26, and I find this. This is where it begins to turn around, and I see some hope in Thomas's life. The third thing I see, he is attending again. It said in verse 26, and after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Now that's a blessing. Thomas is back in there. He's still not believed, but Thomas is with them. A lot of people get out, and by the grace of God, sometimes they get back in. The Bible said in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. A church is for your spiritual good. Did you know that? God so designed it that the disciples would assemble together. People are really amazing. They'll go to the grocery store to get their groceries and they don't think a thing about it. Now, they may not like going to the grocery store, but they still go. They know that's where they need it. I don't like going to Walmart, but we go to Walmart to get our groceries. Why? Because they're the cheapest. And that's where Kim said to go. But I don't like it. But people will go to the grocery store to get their groceries, and they go to the gas station to get their gas, and when they need a lawyer, they go to a lawyer, and when they want to see a baseball game, they go to a baseball field. And on we could go. But you see, they need something for their soul, and it's almost like they say, not going to church. I'm not going down there with them bunch of hypocrites, but you go to the lawyer and they're a bunch of hypocrites. And you go to the store and you know you're getting ripped off sometimes. When it comes to their soul, when it comes to their spirit, oh, I'm not going down there. Well, you need to go down there. Now, I wouldn't go to just any grocery store, and I wouldn't go to just any doctor, and I wouldn't go to just any church. That's not what I'm saying. But I would go to a good one. I'm going to go to a doctor, I want to go to a good one, don't you? If I'm going to go to a church, I want to go to a good one. I want to go to one where the Word of God is preached. I want to go to one where the Lord is honored. I want to go to one where the people are kind and nice. And no, we're not all perfect, but I do believe we love each other. We ought to. I want to go to a church like that. And so we find here that Thomas is attending and he's coming back and he's here with the disciples where he needs to be. Let me reiterate that. This is where Thomas needs to be. His faith is not going to increase if he said like Peter, well, I'm just going back fishing. I'm just going to go back to my life before I met the Lord Jesus Christ. His faith is not going to increase. He is exactly where he needs to be here. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 and 20, and maybe Thomas remembered this. He was there when he said it. But the Lord Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." God so designed it that we would assemble together. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 12, he said, and he gave some apostles and teachers and evangelists and pastors. And why did he give those? For the edifying of the saints. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. God designed it that the disciples would assemble together. And Thomas is here where he's supposed to be, where he needs to be. He's attending. And then another thing I'll show you, number four this morning. He is amazed. Look at verse number 26, what the Bible says. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Now don't get mad at the preacher if he preaches the same thing. Jesus preached the same thing in two consecutive Sundays. He came and he said, "Peace be unto you." See, Thomas missed that message and he really needed it the first time. Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hands and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Then came Jesus. I like that. You know that's the same Jesus if you look back in chapter number 19. Do you know why this would be so amazing? Because in chapter 19 and verse number 30, the Bible says over there John 19 and 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That same Jesus who had just died 3 days earlier, and they took his body down from the cross and they prepared it and they buried it. John 19 and verse number 33 said, "But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. He that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe." Thomas had seen that soldier come up and pierce the side of the Lord Jesus. Did he not say, "Except I see the wound in his side"? They'd all seen that blood and water came out. That is a medical fact that your blood, your body is made up of water, but it is also made up of blood. But when blood and water came out, it was a certainty that this man was dead. And they knew that the Lord Jesus was dead, and they'd saw him die, and they'd saw the wound of the soldier, and they'd saw him taken and buried, and all of these things. Boy, when Thomas saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus said to him back in chapter 20 and verse 27, "Be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Not only is he my master, not only is he my Lord. See, when he said, "My Lord and my God," somebody asked me a while back, they said, "I don't understand all this about Jesus being God. And is Jesus God?" Yes, he's God. He's God manifest in the flesh. And Thomas not only recognized him as being his Lord, as being his Messiah, but he said, "My Lord and my God." If you'd have been there that night and seen the look on Thomas's face, you might have said to Thomas, "Thomas, you look like you've seen a dead man." And he'd have said, "I have, but he's alive." I like what the Lord Jesus said to Thomas. He said, "Thomas, you've seen and believed. But blessed are those that have not seen and believed." That's our category. That's our category. I've not seen him with my own eyes. I've not touched him. Oh, what a privilege, what an honor that the disciples seen him, touched him, sat down with him, fellowshiped, had a meal, walked together, heard him talk, seen him walk, all of these things. You and I have not seen those things with our physical eyes. But Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." That's us tonight, that have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Let me say, belief is a matter of the heart. People say, "Seeing is believing." Evidently not. "Hearing is believing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Yes, it is. But even Thomas had heard but didn't believe. If you'll not believe in your heart, you'll not believe though one rose from the dead. If you'll not, that's what Jesus said in Luke chapter number 16 about the rich man in hell. He said, send somebody to my house and tell my brethren, lest they also come into this place of torment. Jesus said, if you'll not believe Moses and the prophets, you'll not believe. If one rose from the dead, belief is a heart matter. It is a matter of the heart. Romans 10 and 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But if you are faithless, that's what Thomas was to begin with. That's what unbelief is. It's faithless. The Lord Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." If you are faithless, all the friends in the world are not going to make you believe. Because you remember, we've already read this. His friends, verse number 25. "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord." His friends had come and told him, we seen him. He came into the room where we were. We were having church, and he showed up and said, "Peace be unto you." And he showed us it, and we touched him, and we were there. See, unbelief is not an intellectual thing. Belief is not an intellectual thing. It's a heart matter. It's a heart matter. But I will say this morning, if you ever see him, you'll believe. You see, our responsibility as God's children, as witnesses, as missionaries, as preachers, our responsibility is not to convince anybody of a risen Lord. How could I convince you that a man that was dead is alive again? We're 2,000 years removed. Can't convince anybody of that, but I believe it with all of my heart, because he convicted me. He convinced me. He showed me. It's not our responsibility to convince anybody. It is our responsibility to hold forth the word of life, and he does the convincing. We water, but He gives the increase. We hold forth the word of life, but He gives belief in the heart. Belief is a heart matter. If Jesus didn't get up out of the grave, then just go home, don't worry about it. But if He got up out of that tomb, you need to do something about it, because nobody's ever done that before. And He did. And He's alive today, and we're assured of that in our heart. If you don't believe that, read the book of John. Look at the evidence. If God came to earth, what would He be like? I believe He'd be able to raise the dead and read men's minds, and He'd be able to know the future and calm the storms and have control over nature, and He'd be able to heal the leper, and He'd be able to do all these things. Read about it in the book of John. That's why it was written. Look at verse number 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that means the Messiah, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, and that believing ye might have life through His name. You know what believing will do for you? It'll give you eternal life. If I die, I'm not dead. I'm alive. If you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you pass away, I know why we're sad over people that have died, but we're just sad from an earthly point. If they were saved, they're not dead. And they wouldn't come back either. They're better off than they've ever been before. If you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I'm